born, circumcised, proclaimed by the prophet John. This is what we've heard so far since Christmas about Jesus the Messiah, who came into our sin-filled world to accomplish God's plan of salvation. Today we see Jesus as the faithful one, beginning his true ministry as Messiah, heading into the region of northern Israel, calling disciples to him, teaching, preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and healing all manner of disease and disability. The first words and actions of Jesus testify to whom he truly is, the Messiah, fully man like you and me, and fully divine in power and word of God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The reading for our message is from the Gospel of Matthew, which we heard a few moments ago. Jesus didn't come to be a fixer. Jesus came to be faithful. And if the last 2 days have shown me anything about the spiritual condition of our nation and people, it is this. We don't want someone faithful. We want fixers. And I think that demonstrates just how far we've fallen. As I looked to the left, I saw despair from those who put their faith in a simple man, our former president, to bring hope and change to Washington, and left having failed, falling far short of that goal. He wanted to fix our nation, and I get it, there seems to be a lot wrong with it, but even presidents are called to be faithful. As I look to the right, and yeah, I count myself in that group, I see those who look to the new president to be a fixer. He certainly campaigned on that, didn't he? He wants to make America great again. And guess what? If he's a fixer, he's going to fail. As president, he is called to be faithful. I say all this not with joy in my heart, not with hoping that he'll fail, but I just think that that's how far we've fallen. We want fixers. We don't want faithfulness. And we'll put our faith in failing, fallible men who will someday die rather than put it in Jesus Christ because we want things fixed. Brothers and sisters, it's just not going to happen if that's what we want. It's not his calling if he understands it right. And if he or whoever follows him doesn't figure out real quickly that we're called to be faithful, you can guess where we're headed. We see the difference in our reading from the gospel of what being faithful versus coming to fix is. Jesus came to be God's Messiah, the fulfillment of God's plan for salvation, the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world through his life of perfect obedience to his Father in heaven and through his death on the cross. But he came to a people who wanted him to fix things, to overthrow the Roman Empire, to restore the Davidic kingdom, and set Israel above the nations again. They wanted a fixer, not one who was faithful. But look at Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. First, where does he go? When John the Baptist is arrested, where does he go? It tells us he withdraws to Galilee. This is the sign of someone who is faithful to his role as God's Messiah. He is faithful and goes to this little outland area, Galilee. Remember when we're told nothing good comes from Nazareth? He goes to where nothing good is expected. He goes to Galilee, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the worst of all things, Galilee of the Gentiles, not of the Hebrew people, because the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region of the shadow of death, on them light has shined. Jesus was faithful, and he went to minister that prophecy may be fulfilled. Had he wanted to be a fixer, he could have gone and done it. But then his first stop would have been Jerusalem, the seat of power in Israel. He would have established his earthly kingdom. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world," because Jesus is faithful. Look at what he preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the same message that his cousin John the Baptist preached. It's not really a message of healing or gathering together or inspiring. It's saying, turn from your wicked lives because God's near. It's time to get free from your sinful condition. That's the faithful message of a prophet. For we are all sinners, and we are all in need of being called to repent. He doesn't come and preach power to the people. He doesn't come and preach Israelite exceptionalism. His message isn't about fixing. It's about being faithful to God. And in faithfulness to his Father, he calls all to repentance, so that all may be made right, so that the kingdom of God embodied in Jesus will make people right and give them righteousness. And whom does Jesus call into his ministry? Again, it's a sign of faithfulness. He doesn't call those we would expect. They are not men of power and might, wisdom and charisma, but fishermen. And Jesus says, "I'll make you now fishers of men." Had Jesus come to be a fixer, he would have taken his word to Jerusalem and called upon King Herod and the Sanhedrin and the Roman ruler, and he would have made them his followers. But Jesus is faithful. He goes to people in need to call them from their need and to meet that need. And lastly, what does Jesus do? A fixer would have raised a mighty army, whipped them into shape, and led them to victory over Rome and all the world. He would have established that new kingdom right in Israel, because that was God's city. Instead, where does Jesus go and what does Jesus do? He goes to those who need the kingdom of God the most. He goes to the sick, and they're healed. He goes to those who are oppressed by demons, and he frees them. He goes to the paralytic and the epileptic, and they walk. He goes to those who have been enslaved under the law for so long, and he preaches a gospel of forgiveness and peace with God to free them. Jesus wasn't a fixer. He came and he was faithful. And because he was faithful, the only one who can fix things did. God fixed all through his faithfulness. And God calls even our leaders, like our president, to be faithful. And he promises to take care of his children, because that's what God does. Ultimately, we see the faithfulness of Jesus expressed in the strangest of places again, on the cross. His faithfulness leads Jesus through a bloody road for you. His faithfulness takes your sins upon himself. His faithfulness lets nails pierce the hands and feet of his flesh. His faithfulness allows his head to be crowned with a crown of thorns. It is in faithfulness to God that he cries, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And through his blood and faithfulness, we are the ones who are freed and made right. God fixes because he creates. And through his faithful one, Jesus, he fixed the entire world, redeeming it through his shed blood and promising to restore it when he returns to the perfection of Eden. He fixed the devil, forging the chains that would keep him imprisoned in hell forever. He fixed our sin, freeing us from it. And he even fixed death, that great enemy that all of us one day face. He destroyed death through the resurrection of Jesus and has fixed for you now a home in heaven forever. And thank God Jesus was the faithful one and not the fixer we wanted. Because faithfulness is what fixes things through God. So, what do you want of our president? A faithful leader or a fixer? I have to say, sad to say, I think we got a fixer again, folks, and I think that's just the nature of what we do as human beings. I don't know if you watched the prayer service yesterday, but there were already the signs of fixing and not being faithful. For alongside God were the dead gods of Islam, Buddha, Hindu, and many others, raised up as equals in God's house. Yesterday's prayer, and I say that loosely, service was a fix. Not faithfulness. It was extraordinarily disappointing to me. It seemed dead and empty and pitiful. And when we hold up other gods next to the one true God who died for us, it denigrates that sacrifice. None of those other idols will do anything for us. But it was trying to fix things, trying to find peace where there is none, inviting into God's house corruption and decay and destruction, just like ancient Israel of old. So what do? Our example again is Jesus. Be faithful. The president of our Lutheran denomination, Matthew Harrison, has said this many times, and you can see it in just about every issue of the Lutheran Witness. You are free now through Christ to be faithful. We are free to be faithful. We are not called to fix things because we can't. Our president can't fix things. And if we give in to that temptation, it's going to keep going the way it is. Badly. We are free to be faithful. We are free to be faithful in our thoughts. In our thoughts, in our minds, we want to fix the Word of God. Think of that. The freedom that you have because God has declared it in His Word to you. That's where we go for our hope. For our looking for promises fulfilled is His Word. In it, we see how God has from day one faithfully cared for all the world. And He continues to care for you and me right down to this very day. More than that, He has freed us from our old enemy death. We are free from that because of what God has done in fixing things through Jesus Christ. Keep your minds fixed on the Word of God, on the things of God, and on His promises. That helps us tame those worries and anxieties that come up when we look at what our world leaders are doing. They are only doing what they do because of who they are. They're either faithful or they're not. And what does Jesus say about our worries? He says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. But if God so clothes the grasses, which are alive today and thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? The Gentiles seek after all those things, and our Heavenly Father knows they need them. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough anxiety for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You are free to be faithful and to give those worries over to God. If he fixed your sin, if he fixed death, if he fixed the devil, he can fix those too. He who is faithful has promised, and he will do it. You are free to be faithful with your mouths. Your mouths were given to you to sing praises to the one who has been faithful to you, and to confess faithfully his gospel message of repentance and forgiveness found only in Jesus. God has put his word not only in your minds, but on your lips. And your words of prayer are faithfulness to God and trust in him. And we are called to pray for our leaders that they too will be faithful. Be faithful in your confession of God before your brothers and sisters, your co-workers, your friends, and yes, even the stranger you may visit. Be faithful because God has first been faithful to you. And be ready, as St. Peter says, always to defend the hope and truth that is within you. And do so with the kindness and respect that Christ has shown you. And of course, be faithful in deeds. Martin Luther liked to say it this way: God doesn't need your good works. Your neighbor does. Go and be a faithful neighbor. Go and be the one who goes to the poor and feeds them and clothes them. Maybe that means opening your homes at times. Maybe that means adopting a child. Did you know that there are over 300,000 children in America alone that need a home? We have how many Christians in this nation? What a wonderful thing to give the gospel message to a child who wants nothing more than to know that they are loved by parents and by a God who created them. Do you know who the outcasts are among you? Maybe it's those who are in nursing homes who have no family, have no friends, have no one to offer them a word of kindness or just a hug of presence. Jesus calls on us to visit those who are sick and outcast and alone, that you may be his hands and feet. Maybe it's as simple as, who are your neighbors next door? Do you know what their needs are? Do you know what makes them enjoy or suffer in life? I mean, it seems odd in a community this small where we would say we know everyone. But do you really know what your neighbor's wants and needs are? Can you go to them with Jesus' love and kindness to let them know they can count on you? Don't wait for our president or for Washington to fix things, because they can't. Unless they're faithful to God, we know it will only get worse. But Jesus was the faithful one. Faithful to you and me in thought, word, and deed. Faithful even to death, so that for you and me would be fixed a home in heaven. Today we hear again how Jesus' ministry began not as a fixer, but as the faithful one of God, and how he ministered to all. He has freed you from sin, death, and the devil, and the only thing he calls you to be is to be faithful. He has faithfully promised that on the last day we will each have our eternal reward in heaven. And he who faithfully came, preached, taught, healed, died, rose from the dead, and now promises to come again will do it. This is the faithful one, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him alone be glory and honor and praise. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith through Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.